Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the building, church. The last time that we'll be gathering in this building. Anybody excited? Okay, I pay you guys to be excited. Anybody? Sam, I see your hand. That does my heart good. As you can see, we have gone very much old school. How good was worship? Come on, let's give the team a massive wow. Before I get into the word, as you can see, we've also scrambled the whole. We've gone where God's led. I would like to welcome our first-time visitors. If you're visiting us for the very first time, we have team that will want to give you, put your pack in your hand. If you could just give us a wave, and then they will come and give you. Anybody here visiting us for the very first time, give me a quick wave. Yes, over there. Come on. All the way. Walk all the way to the top. Great to see you. Anybody else on this side? Just give us a quick wave. It's good to see you. Thanks for visiting us on the last time that we are in this building. Next week, come and visit us at 20 Joseph Street. How good does that feel? How good does that feel? How good does that feel? That is amazing. Also, hang around for coffee afterwards. It's going to be a bit of a hive and activity because of the reason that we will be packing up. We've got to get all of this gear, plus all the gear out there, into trucks and cars and tubs and stuff. So if, don't run off. Help us pack, please. We need strong men. I see all those strong guys right at the top there. That's good to see you all. And over here, all these young ones, muscles. They go to the gym. Yep, I'm looking at you. Yep, flexing. Got your name and number. Know your mum. All right. Jokes aside. Hey, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to go straight into the Word this morning. I have a Word that I believe is going to be dynamic and significant in your life as much as mine. The precursor is this. We're talking about identity. This is the theme for the month in here at Pneuma. And identity is my forte. Hold on, I can't multitask at the moment. I'm trying to find my Bible verse. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, JJ, you'll get there. Identity is my forte. Why is identity my forte? Because I really believe that when you know your identity, you walk differently. When you know your true identity as a son and a daughter, you live differently. When you know your identity as a son and a daughter, you also husband or wife differently. You parent differently. You friend differently. Why do I know this? Because I've experienced it. For about 20 odd years, I've been in ministry for over 30, but 20 of those years I taught and led out without my true identity as a son. And it was when I had an encounter with God that, and I had the aha moment of what my true identity was, that identity went from something that I thought to something that I believed. And it's my heart and passion in our house and in our family that we all walk in our true identity as sons and daughters of God. So I've titled this message, You Belong, because you do belong. You belong into a family of God. You already are, if you know Jesus, you're already in the family of God. If I have to ask you a question of who are you, what would you say? Would you refer to your job title? Would you refer to your role? Would you refer to your past? Would you refer to your struggles? Would you refer, or would you say, I am a son of God, or I am a daughter of God? You see, you being a son of God or a daughter of God is basically your most truest identity. It's your most truest identity. It's actually the only identity that really, really matters. It's It's the only identity that matters. Many believers live like orphans in the Father's house, in the Father's family. You're saved, but you're still striving. You have promises of a life of abundance, but yet you're still doubting. You're in church, but you're not fully thriving. The question I want to ask you is, do you know what it really means to be a child of God? Not just in theory, but deep in your spirit. Josh, my computer, have you got it with you? Can you give it to me, please? Sorry, I just got to work on my computer this morning. Thanks, Legend. I think at the end of the day, what we have to do is we have to get our thought pattern out of the fact that we are sons and daughters to we are sons and daughters. Because at the core of Christian identity is the truth that you are not just called sons and daughters. You have been made sons and daughters. This is crucial. You have been made sons of daughters. How? By being away from God and being brought into the family of God. And the verse that I want to look at is out of John 1 verse 12. Because it's a foundational scripture on understanding sonship and the divine process you go through in becoming a child of God. You see, you don't earn sonship. You don't fight for daughterhood. You receive it. You receive it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to fight for it. You just receive it. So let's pray. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you that it's alive. We thank you that it's active. We thank you that it is full of truth. And we pray today that the truth will be revealed to us. Open our eyes to see this. Open our eyes to see the truth. Open our ears to hear what you want us to hear. And Lord, give us a heart to receive. Holy Spirit, come and breathe on this word. Breathe on this word. May this word become alive. May we each have an aha moment, as I did many years ago. I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So our scripture is John 1:12. It says this, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Let's say, read that again. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Now, I'm going to unpack that verse by verse or line by line. Firstly, there is an invitation to all who receive him. All who receive him. This is an invitation. We've got to take note of the word all. This is an open invitation. You want inclusivity? Here is inclusivity. You want equality? Here it is. Right here in the word. This has radical inclusion. No matter your past, no matter your pain, no matter your race, no matter your class, no matter your history, no matter where you are, to all means all. You, everybody. Who received him? This is a personal response. This is a response for you and me. Now, the Greek word for receive means to take hold of or embrace fully. So to all who take hold of him, to all who embrace him fully, can I say that this is not casual church attendance? Can I say that this is not casual relationship with God? This is a wholehearted surrender to Jesus. We heard at Easter that Jesus didn't just die for religion. He died to bring you and I into relationship. He didn't endure the cross so that you and I could check boxes and follow rituals. He bled to tear the veil, to open the way back to the Father. Why? To restore relationship between the Father and myself. You see, Jesus didn't endure the cross so that you and I could just check those boxes. Religious says this, do more. But relationship says it is finished. It is finished. So may I suggest, if you're still struggling with your sonship, when I say sonship, this is not gender-based. This is both of us, all right, male and female. If you're still struggling with your sonship, perhaps you should be asking yourself this question. Have I received him? Let me put the Greek interpretation. Have I fully, emphasis on fully, fully embraced him? Or am I still standing at the edge of an invitation waiting? Which brings me to the second part of the scripture. You see, from an invitation, there needs to be a response. A response is required. Who believed in his name? Believed in his name means trusting in who he is. Trusting in who he is. To believe in his name is to stop trusting in your own. To believe in his name is to lay down the weight of trying to prove yourself. It's to stop building your identity in what you've done, what you're about to do, or even what you failed to do. You see, many times we beat ourselves up because of what we failed to do. I haven't been a good father, but you can be a good father from this point forward. I have to admit, in front of my children, I wasn't the best of fathers. There's a saying, monkey see, monkey do. I saw the way my father fathered, and therefore I fathered according to the way my father fathered. Until I started walking my true identity. You can ask my wife, you can ask my children. I then started fathering differently. You see, it's not on what you've done, what you're about to do, or your title you have, or what you failed to do. Believing is about resting in what he's already finished. All right, Nick. All right, I got a chair. Do you see this chair? Everybody see it? Okay, you see it at the back there? Yeah, great. I can stand here and say, I believe that this chair can hold me. I can stand here and I can admire the design, talk about the strength of the legs, even convince others that it's reliable. But until I actually sit on it, and put all my weight on it, I'm not trusting it. I'm not trusting it. You see, believing in Jesus isn't just agreeing with him. It's resting your life in him. This chair has an invitation. What's its invitation? Sit on me. Jesus has got an invitation, believe in me. Believe in me. John 1:12 says, to all who received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Receiving and believing is not passive ideas. They are active ideas. They are sitting down. It's sitting down with Jesus. We actually sang about that. Sitting at your feet. It's trusting that Jesus is enough. You see, it's about letting go of your own effort and resting your full weight on the truth of what he has done. Some of us are standing. We're standing near the chair, we're talking about the chair, we're praising the chair, we're even defending the chair, but we're still refusing to sit on the chair. Are we doing the same with God? Are we standing near God, talking about God, praising God, defending God, but still refusing to completely trust in and believe in Him? You see, the Father's not inviting you to know about Jesus. He's calling you to trust fully in Him, to let your weight down, stop striving, and to rest in the identity He has already given you as sons and daughters. This is the kind of biblical belief that we are talking about. Identity is not about believing about Jesus, but it's trusting in Jesus. This is not partial faith. This is wholehearted surrender. So here's my question. What are you still trying to hold together in your name? What do you need to lay down? What do you need to let go control of? You see, because His call and trust is in, He's calling you to trust in what? In His nature, in His authority, and in His goodness. Why? Why is He calling us to believe in His name? It's in the Scriptures. Let's look at the next point. Because there's a transformation that happens. And after our decision, we receive a promise. Our identity is bestowed. Our identity is given. Our identity is restored to the one that you were always meant to carry. It says this, He gave the right. Everybody say the right. The right to become children of God. Let's start with the first bit. He gave. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to jump through hoops. You just got to receive it. He gave you the right. He didn't go give it out of obligation. He gave it out of love. He gave it out of goodness. He gave what? The right. The next two words, the right. That's exousia. What does exousia mean? It's not permission. He's not giving you permission saying, hey, come on in. No. Exousia means authority or right to act. To act as what? To act as a child. The ability and privilege of being a child. The capacity to stand in the title of a child. And the delegated authority to walk in as a child. That's what exousia means. In summary, the right is actually the supernatural empowerment to live as a son or a daughter. You have got the supernatural power to live as a son and a daughter because He's exousia. He has given you the right to live accordingly. You're not just invited people. You are empowered. God doesn't just say, come into the family. He gives you the legal right to live as a child, to speak as a child, to walk as a child, to inherit as a child. Romans 8:17 says, we are co-heirs with Christ. This means what belongs to Jesus belongs to you. What belongs to Jesus belongs to me. What belongs to Jesus belongs to your neighbor, your wife, your kids. Amen? You're not just forgiven, you've been legally adopted. The right is covenantal. It's like God stamped your adoption papers into the kingdom with heaven's seal, and He said this, this one is mine. Come on. This one is mine. This one carries my name. They carry my access. They carry my fob. They can get into any door wherever they go because they have my authority. Come on, people. We need to get excited. They're not just surviving. You have kingdom authority. Many believers live saved but powerless. Ouch. Should I say that again? Mark said, Bezema says, I can. Many believers live saved but powerless. Ouch. They receive the invitation but have not stepped into their exousia. I believe, but I'm not walking in my right. I'm not walking in my birthright. The right to be a child of God means you can resist the enemy. You can declare and claim God's promises. You can live boldly in your calling. You can approach the throne of grace with confidence. You're not just trying to make it through the week. You carry royal authority in the spiritual realm. You can shift atmospheres. You know that God in the beginning shifted the atmosphere. Holy Spirit is hovering. You can read this in Genesis. What did God say? It says it was void, it was empty. God said, let there be. Sorry again, let there be. And what happened? There was light. He shifted atmospheres. You know that that same kind of power is within you? Where's the Holy Spirit? The right, exousia, birthright. You don't have to try and sneak into God's house, people. You've been through the back door. You've been handed the keys by the Father himself. And guess what? Hell has no claim on what heaven has given authority. Come on, you're not hearing this. Hell has no claim on what heaven has given authority. What has heaven given authority? You. You have the authority of heaven, and hell has no claim on you. Why? Because you belong. Where do you belong? Into the family of God. You are not powerless. You're not illegitimate. You are not on probation on the kingdom of God. You're not on probation. If I do everything right for the next 6 months, I will be appointed full-time. No. If I do this for the rest of my life, I will be admitted to heaven. No. From the time you believe and receive, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. So why are we still trying to earn what God has already given us? Can I request, can we stop it? As a church, can we please stop and step into the authority he has given us? Because you know what? How many? There's about 250 people sitting here maybe. Imagine if every one of us, 250 people, walk in our true identity. What impact will we have in our community? Can you imagine if all 250 of us go and we are shifting atmospheres wherever we go? You know that there's going to be no dark light. There's only going to be light. Dark light. Is there anything like dark light? No, let's take that off there. There's going to be no darkness. There's only going to be... Walk with confidence. Come on, child of God. Walk with confidence. Pray like a child of the King. Authority. Worship. Worship. Worship like the one who belongs. You know what? My daughter, where is she? I'm going to even throw her under the bus. You know what? She walks around the house. She dances. She goes nuts. She goes crazy. Why? Because she feels comfortable in the house. She feels safe in the house. Guess what? You can be dancing around and you can be singing your heart out. Why? Because you're a child of the God and you are part of the kingdom of God. I'm worshiping Jesus. No. I'm worshiping Jesus. Come on, church. I'm a bit hyper. I'm excited. We're moving. And this is a good word. Thank you, Pastor Russ. Say to your neighbor, he's preaching a word. Brings me to point number four. With his exousia, with this right, transformation is experienced. What happens? You become a child of God. It says to become. Become speaks of transformation. To become implies there's a change, a shift that happens from one state to another. You undergo a metamorphosis, a deep, dramatic change. You're like a butterfly.
You were once a little worm. Wormy, wormy. And then you go into a cocoon. And then you come out and then you're a butterfly. Hey, a butterfly that comes out of the cocoon doesn't go, oh, I'm a little wormy, wormy. It doesn't go, oh, I'm going to creep along the branches anymore. No, it goes, spreads its wings and it flies off. Come on. You know more little wormy wormies.
You got wings. Soar with the eagles. Son and daughter of God. Spread those wings. You know what? Where you've been bound, where you've been bound by chains, where you've been bound by hurt, where you've been bound up by disappointment, where you've been bound by sickness, you've been in that cocoon that the enemy has wrapped around you. When you give your life to Jesus, you come out of that cocoon and you are free. The Bible says you are free by the blood of Jesus. The new covenant. You become, states another change. It's not self-improvement. Let me go and do some self-improvement courses. Which one can I do online? No, it's not self-improvement. It's a moral, it's neither or a moral upgrade. It's a divine transformation. It's divine. You know, in that little cocoon of that butterfly, of that caterpillar, there's something that happens supernaturally that we don't even understand. It goes from a worm to a butterfly. It's the same with us. We cannot comprehend that once upon a time we were this little sinner, but now we are kingdom royal. Royal authority. We are royal authority. We are royalty. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You see, the old you dies and the new you is born in Christ. When does this transformation happen, church? It happens when you receive and you believe. It's not what I'm saying. It's what the scriptures say. It's when you receive and you believe. What happens? You are born again. I'm not going to go into this, but John 3:3-6, Nicodemus is there, and John is saying to him, hey, you got to be reborn. You got to experience a rebirth. He goes, I'm a gray-headed man. Any gray heads here? Any bald heads? All right, yep. I'm a gray-headed man. I'm going gray by. 20 Joseph Street. I'm a gray-headed man. How am I meant to be reborn? It's impossible to go back into the womb a second time and be reborn. I'm reading this. Jesus answered, I speak an eternal truth. Unless you are born of water and spirit, you will never enter God's kingdom. For the natural can only give birth to the things that are natural. But the spiritual realm gives birth to supernatural life. This is not symbolic. It's real spiritual rebirth. You are children of God. Say to your neighbor, you are children of God. What does that mean? What does that mean? This is what we have to get. What does that mean? It means you are fully known. It means you are fully loved. It means you are fully accepted. It means you are fully brought in to His family. Another way to say that, you belong. You belong. Belong to what? His family. Not just His creation. Anybody just on the brink of evolution? Scripture for you. We're an ape and now you're a human. No. This says you are His family. You belong to His family, not to His creation. It means you carry His name, His nature. It means you carry His inheritance. It means God becomes your Father. Heaven becomes your home. Jesus becomes your Lord and your Savior. It means we do not live as orphans trying to earn approval. We live as sons and daughters who already have the approval. We have it. You belong. So question, are you living as a child or are you living as someone trying to earn your place? You see, the Bible doesn't say to those who prove themselves. He says, to those who receive him and believe in his name. This means no hoops to jump through. No hoops. No spiritual probation. No performance review. Or it's not, one day I'll become a son. No, 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 no. When you receive and you believe, you already are. This is going to be on the board. You're not trying to become a child. You're learning to live like one. You already are. Yeah, take photos. I'll get out of the way. Because this is the reality. We think that when we give our lives to Jesus, there's like this little magic wand that goes, tip, now you're a son and a daughter. No, no, no. This is the key. You learning to live like the one you are already are. Why are you learning to live? Because up until now, you've been an orphan. Up until now, you have not lived as royalty. If you took a pauper to King Charles's palace, if you took somebody off the street to King Charles's palace, number one, you'd have to scrub them up. Number two, you'd have to teach them the etiquette when they sit at the table to eat. Learning to live. It's okay to make mistakes. Children make mistakes. My son makes mistakes. Edward makes mistakes. I make mistakes. Paulina makes mistakes. Even just yesterday, I had to go to my son and ask him forgiveness. It's okay. Learning to live. Learning to live. He's already handed you the keys. Not just to visit, but to live in his presence. Walk in his authority. And open the doors for others while you're learning to live. While you're learning to live. You don't have to wait until you're perfect. You've got the keys. I'm speaking Belinda's language now. Open the doors for others. Community. School. God didn't stop at forgiveness, people. He didn't stop at the cross. He went all the way to adoption. He didn't just clean your slate. He changed your status. I love this. Matthew 3:17. You want another revelation aha moment? Nobody? Two people. This is my son whom I love and with I am well pleased. Jesus heard this before any miracles. Yes? You agree? He was baptized as he came out. Jesus heard this. Everybody around him heard this. I have a revelation for you and I. This scripture, John 1:12, to those who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Guess what? You are affirmed before you perform. Where's all my life group from? This is what we were talking about. You are affirmed before you perform. You don't have to be performed to become a child. You are a child already. You belong in the kingdom. You have the authority. I declare over you today, you are not an orphan. You are not rejected. You are not left out. You are not forgotten about. I declare over you, if you're a male, you are a son. If you are a female, you are a daughter of the Most High God. I declare over every single one of you sitting here today, you are chosen. You are dearly loved. You are blood bought. You carry the name of the Father. You wear the robe of righteousness. You have the ring of authority on your hand. You have the sandals of belonging on your feet. You do rest in your true identity. I declare that over you. If you ever doubt it, I bind those thoughts of doubt. If the team can hop up with me, that'll be great. By the authority of Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, your Lord, your Savior, today I break off the spirit of striving. Look at me, young people. Look at me. You can maybe put that away later. I need to speak to you. Not only speak to you, to everybody. Today, I want to silence the voice of accusation. Yeah, awkward, I know. But I silence the voice of accusation over this young generation. I silence the voice of bullying. And I declare that you, as sons and daughters, you will not bully, but you will love. I silence the voice of accusation. Everybody in this place, I cancel the mindset of orphan. I cancel the mindset. Pauline and I are believing that every single one of us will walk in our true identity. Not only see communities come to God in our community, not only see schools come to God, not only see universities come to God, but see our nation come to God. Because you, 250 of us, are walking in our true identity as sons of God. I release the spirit of sonship right now. Right now. Receive His embrace. Receive His embrace. He loves you as a son. He loves you as a daughter. You may not have had that physical hug from dad, but he is not the same as your father, as your physical father. You may not have received that physical hug from your mother, physical mother, but he is not the same as your physical mother. He loves you unconditionally, so much so that he's given you exousia. He's given you the right. You belong. You belong. I actually hear the Father say this. You belong in my house. That is for somebody in this place. You belong. This is a Father speaking to you. You belong in my house. You belong in my presence. Every single one of you sitting here, if you know Jesus, don't know Jesus, you belong to Him. You belong to Him. I really believe that there are people in this room who know about God, but guess what? You haven't been living as a son and a daughter, as I did. It's about 9 years ago I had my aha moment. Only nine years ago. This is my passion. Identity is my passion. When Jesus comes and fetches me, I want to have on my tombstone, He loved well and preached identity. Take note. Because that's all that matters. That's all that matters. You know about God, but you haven't been living as a son and daughter. You've been living like somebody on the outside, still trying to earn your place, carrying shame or fear or disappointment. Father's calling you home. He's calling you higher. He's calling you to walk in the identity. Now, you may be here today, and you've never received Jesus. You've never received Him. What do we say by receiving? We've just read the scripture. Receiving is going, Jesus, I receive you. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer. Today, friend, you need to pray that prayer. This is your opportunity. going to give you an opportunity later. You may be here and you have received him, but up until now you haven't been walking as a true son or a true daughter, living with an orphan mentality, an orphan mindset. I want today for you to allow the spirit of adoption to set your heart free. Set your heart free. I know a lot of people struggle with their worth. Maybe you're struggling with your worth because of what's been said to you, how you've been treated. Stop striving to prove your worth to God. He's already stamped you as mine. Already stamped you. Receive his grace. So I want you to close your eyes there where you are. Nobody moving around, please. This is an important moment in heaven. If something is in your spirit is stirring, something in your spirit, touch your spirit. If you're tired of performing, tired of pretending, tired of feeling distant, just tired, we're going to have altar moments. I want to invite you to the altar. Today, I don't want you to rob yourself of this opportunity. I believe today there's going to be a shift in your spirit. The same aha moment that I had, I believe you're going to have. You're going to have. So we're going to open the altars. We're going to make moment. Like you, don't worry about your neighbor. If you're in one of those categories, come down to the front. Because I have a team that is ready to pray for you. Today, 18th of May, 2025, at 10:20, whatever, 4, it's a significant moment in your life. Let us pray for you. I want you to pray this after me. Nice and loud, I want to hear you. Bring the music down a little bit. Father God.
Father God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That through Jesus. I am your child.
I am your child.
You didn't just forgive me.
You didn't just forgive me.
You accepted me.
You accepted me.
I am no longer an orphan.
I am no longer an orphan.
I belong.
I belong.
Today.
Today. I receive my identity.
As a child of God.
As a child of God.
I am chosen.
Chosen.
Say that again. I am chosen.
I am chosen.
I am loved.
I am loved.
I am accepted.
I am accepted.
Put your hand on your heart. I am secure.
I am secure.
Not because what I have done.
Not because of what I have done.
But because of what you are.
But because of what you are.
And who you are.
And who you are.
I reject the lies.
I reject the lies.
That says I am unworthy.
That says I am unworthy.
Unwanted.
Unwanted.
Alone.
Alone.
I embrace the truth.
I embrace the truth.
Of who you say I am.
Of who you say I am.
I am your child.
I am your child.
I am your delight.
I am your delight.
I am your masterpiece.
I am your masterpiece.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For adopting me.
For adopting me.
In your family.
In your family.
Forever.
Forever.
I choose
from this day forth
to walk as a child of God.
As a child of God.
If you're a son, if you're a man, you're saying son. If you're a daughter, you're saying daughter. I choose to walk as a son or daughter.
To walk as a daughter.
In this world. By your power. And your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give God praise. Let's give God praise.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.